Good morning and welcome to this, our 9 o'clock service on Sunday the 29th of March 2020, as we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Lent and Passiontide begins. The first hymn that I've chosen for us today is Amazing Grace. I'm always reminded that justice gives us what we deserve, mercy doesn't give us what we deserve, and grace gives us what we do not deserve. So could we sing together, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.
Our collect for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Let us pray. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, beginning at the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
How do you react when you hear that sound? I'll never forget that clip with Morecambe and Wise when Eric goes over to shut the curtains and an ambulance or fire engine goes past and he says, they'll never sell any ice creams going at that speed. How do you react, though, when you do hear one of our emergency vehicles going past? Do you pray for the person who needs to be helped? What about if you were the one waiting for the emergency services to arrive? How would you feel if you could not hear a sound like that in response to a 999 call? Or worse still, if you were told that there was no help available yet? I'll be asking a lot of questions in this talk. You may want to pause the recording to think about your response to the questions, but also possibly to discuss them with those who may or may not be around you. In the story of Lazarus, Jesus delayed his journey. He arrived well after the funeral had taken place. Jesus was the friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he was their hope. He was their 999 call. But he didn't arrive in time. He wasn't there for the funeral. If we were with Martha and Mary, how might we have felt? What would we have said to him? Eventually, Jesus did arrive. How did Martha and Mary react? And how did Jesus reply? Do you think that his answer and attitude helped them? Would they help you? There are signs that Jesus really did grieve. Lazarus was a good friend of his. How did he show his compassion? How did he show his power? And at what cost? This is a very well-known story and particularly appropriate for the events that are happening around us now. Do you think that it will help you? Do you think it will help you particularly at times in your life when Jesus does not seem to be present? God does not seem to be acting? Or perhaps you're able to see how God is acting. See glimmers of what he's doing. I wonder if you've had conversations with people who've said, I used to go to church, but I used to believe, but, and then they tell you of an experience of bereavement or a tragedy or an injustice. And they've asked, where was God? Why didn't he answer our prayers? Why didn't he come and do this? I wonder how you respond in those situations. Sometimes a comforting hug or an encouraging silence can be better than a long-winded explanation. Because often those who are hurting need to know that you've heard them. How did Jesus react to the mourners in this story? Can sharing personal experiences about a difficult time help? Do you just need to get it off your chest? Do you just need to be heard? Do you think that tragedy can be faith building rather than destroying faith? Do you think that the events unfolding now might be sparking different reactions in different people? I always used to try and sing along to Edith Piaf's song, Je ne regrette rien, but I'm not going to do that for you now, so don't worry. I regret nothing. But I've encountered many people over the years who do live with regrets about what might have happened or should not have happened. How do we cope with things that might lock us into the past? How do we try to help other people to move on? Do we sometimes try to move people along far earlier than they should be? Do we find it uncomfortable talking to those who've been bereaved or gone through a tragedy? I read something once which said, you can't move to the next chapter until you've turned over the page. And many times we need to leave things in the past to be able to move forward. When we're desperate, delayed help seems very cruel. Jesus delayed going to Bethany for 4 days. How can we help people plagued by regrets? How can we help people weighed down by guilt that they could have done this or should have done that or reacted faster? Those people who can't move on, who find it really hard to forgive themselves. Can we find Jesus in the midst of our fears? As Christians, what resources do we have? It's funny how when I'm doing a funeral, not funny really, sorry, that's the wrong word, but sometimes when I've been asked to take a funeral, I've been asked, do you need to bring God into it? And I've always responded, well, yes, because I'm a Christian minister. And actually, I think God's the best thing that we can bring into any situation. A minister recently was asked, please don't mention the resurrection. This story is an affirmation of resurrection, not only by Jesus, but by Martha as well. Paul declares that if the dead are not raised, Christians are of all people the most to be pitied. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How would you respond to that person who says, don't mention the resurrection? Perhaps you might ask, is this about the deceased or the bereaved? For many people, death is a taboo subject. Consider the euphemisms we use to circumvent the word death. Oh, they've passed on. They've gone on to the other side. We've lost them. But if death, God, is not there in death, what hope can we give for the future, apart from the celebration of a memory and the end of pain? I think that's why I find humanist funerals so depressing. There's no hope. There's no promise. There's no one to accompany you. Is God dead too, in many people's minds? These next few weeks are going to be difficult in many, many ways, and I suspect that we'll only find out those ways when we're actually living through them. But can I remind you that God is not dead? God is always there. We might not get the responses we want, or we might not get the responses we want in the timing that we want. And it may be that we never know the answer of why God delayed things or didn't answer in the way we expected. We might only find out when we are with God in his presence for all eternity. But can I ask you to trust him? Because ultimately, he is the one who has promised us that he will love us and who has given us an eternity. May God bless you and keep you in the coming days and weeks. Amen. Our next hymn may not be known to all of you, but I've chosen it for two reasons. First, because I really think it fits in with the whole theme of our service today. But secondly, because it will also give us the opportunity to get some of that exercise that we probably all need by now. You may want to, as you sing along, walk, walk in the light. So our next hymn is The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free.
Jesus promised life to all.
and together we affirm our faith with the Creed on page 7. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As the people of the living God, in a world where life has changed vastly and where many live in fear, despair and loneliness, let us join together in our prayers for the church and for the world. Our bidding this week is breathe into us, and the response, so that we live in you. Breathe into us, so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into the church. Breathe holiness and deepening faith. Breathe energy, inspired teaching and fervent praise. Unblock the channels and make us more receptive to your gentleness and your power. May we be a people of prayer, continually interceding for the wider world and breathing your peace into every aspect of life. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into the universe. Breathe responsible caring, honesty and compassion. Breathe right values and good stewardship, peace and reconciliation, vision and hope. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into our homes. Breathe increased patience and understanding and the courage to live the Christian life when to do so brings ridicule or demands sacrifice. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into those who suffer. Breathe comfort and wholeness, forgiveness and new confidence. Breathe peace of mind and the knowledge of your love. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into those who are working on the front lines. Breathe your life into weary limbs and bodies. Breathe your cleansing life into scarred and scared minds. Breathe your life and peace into those whose fear and distress cause them to lash out. Breathe your healing power over all who are helping in these challenging times. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into the dead and dying. Breathe courage for the journey and the realization that you can be trusted. Breathe life that lasts forever. Breathe into us so that we live in you. Holy God, breathe your life into us now as we offer you here our thanks and praise for your life laid down out of love for us and for those who have followed your example of sacrificial love. May your protection be over them and your peace in their hearts, and may they come to know you, the author and perfecter of our lives. May our words be worked out in fresh commitment to you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We may not be able to physically share the peace with anybody this week, not in the way we're used to anyway. But can I ask you, when you say the peace of the Lord be always with you, to mentally hold those people in your minds with whom you would usually share the peace? And if you realise that there is somebody with whom you need to make peace, can I suggest that you either pause this recording and go and contact them now, or that you contact them immediately the service is finished? Once we were far off, but now in union with Christ Jesus, we have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offertory hymn today is For the Beauty of the Earth. But what can you raise as sacrifice of praise to God this day? The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. And now we give you thanks, because for our salvation he was obedient even to death on the cross. The tree of shame was made the tree of glory, and where life was lost, there life has been restored. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
We join together in the second prayer of humble access, found on page 15. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen.
Come, when you are fearful, to be made new in love. Come, when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. Come, when you are regretful, and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all.
The body of Christ, broken for you, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life.
Amen.
For all church family news, please keep regularly up-checking the website. I would point out to you that at the moment, Renewed Hope, the new name for Renewed Hope Trust, are looking for financial contributions so that they can keep feeding those who are on the streets. And also the food banks are desperate now for financial contributions because more and more people are needing their services, but their collection points have had to be mostly shut down. Notices of where you can still take food donations are up on the website, but please do consider giving financially. And with this in mind, let us pray together the post-communion collect for Lent 5. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do also for you. Give us the will to be the servants of others, as you were the servant of all, and gave up your life and died for us, but are alive and reign now and for ever. Amen. Our closing hymn today is Jesus the Name High Over All, no matter what is going on around us. Jesus, God, is still in control and still keeps loving us. May Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.